So you guys, you coaches, work crazy hours. My question is, what time do you get to work for an early day game after a night game? What time do you arrive at Rogers Center on a day like today?
Well, I just got here a little bit ago. And by the way, Scott, it's great to be with you guys. And, you know, guys are probably here at 8 o'clock, you know, for a day game, especially it's a little earlier start, 12:37 today. But, you know, we won't have a whole lot of activity on the field to give you guys a little bit of break after a night game, and then you have a day game the next day. So, you know, we'll probably just sit on the cage, maybe take some ground balls and to get ready for the game.
Dave, it's lovely to speak to you, first and foremost. Thank you for coming on the show. My question for you is surrounding comments that your front office made in the sense that they love the blueprint that the Dodgers and the Astros put together, and they want to take their cues from them in the way that they build out this current iteration of the Blue Jays. So when you spent all that time with the Astros, what do you think is one of the things that the Blue Jays value the most about the way that they've been able to compile their team?
Well, you know, it's a great question. You know, I kind of had the same feeling when I went from the New York Mets in 2015, I believe is my first year with the Astros, to the Astros. You saw those young four players like Correa and you know, Springer, and of course Altuve was there, and Bregman was kind of on his way, just being drafted. And you could kind of see, you know, the thing about young players, really talented, good young players, is they get better. You know, you look at older players and veteran players, and you kind of look at the back of their baseball card, and you pretty much know what they're going to do. But the younger players, you know, you think you know what they're going to do, but they've got, especially these guys, have a really high ceiling. So, mm-hmm. I think the blueprint, the model, is right if you want to have a chance to sustain a championship caliber type of a team, which they're doing, and that's what they have going in Houston right now with that young core. You know, and as that young core comes up, you see where you need to add, I think, and then you go out and you might have to get somebody from outside as far as a pitching staff or maybe an outfielder or catcher, whatever it might be, which they've done, you know, a lot more familiar with Houston than I am with the Dodgers, although we played the Dodgers a couple times. But I think it's the right model to go by if you want to have a chance to have a championship-type team for years down the road.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are not the best comp because at any time they can just spend and fix their problems, where Houston really decided to build things organically. With that comes some losing, and there's a couple seasons in there where there was only, you know, 50 some odd wins. How much of your role in the rebuilding process is teaching not just the fundamentals of the game, but teaching the culture that you want and the morale you want to keep to get through the losses and get you to a winning place?
Yeah, well, I think that's what Charlie did a great job early on of, you know, not as those losses early in the season were mounting up. He didn't let the guys get down. He kept a positive attitude. You know, guys kept working, and you just don't let them get down too much. And then as young guys come up, they're really creating that culture in the clubhouse and how we go about playing the game on the field. And you know, we have certain expectations, obviously, that we expect out of them. But when you have that kind of talent and the kind of really kind of people that these young guys are, when you look at, you know, Kevin Biggio, and you look at Bichette, and you look at Vladdy, those three guys in particular, you know, you had Gurriel in there also. And all of a sudden you've got guys that have been around the game for quite a while, even though they're really young. You've got some kids that I'm sitting in the stadium right now, so they just turned on a machine, so I got to walk out of there. But you have some kids that have been around the game for quite a while, so it's not foreign to them how they're supposed to act in the clubhouse and the way they're supposed to go about playing the game. So it's pretty exciting when you watch these young kids come up, especially with the kind of talent that they have.
there's some talk around the trade deadline of removing some of the bigger personalities and vets from the clubhouse and allowing those young kids to make that clubhouse theirs. Is that a real thing? Is there something tangible to that, or is that just something that us in the media talk about?
Yeah, I think that's real. I mean, anytime you have veterans in the clubhouse, they're going to influence. Not, and it's not that they were a bad influence. All those guys are really good guys, and I think made their mark here, definitely. But it's kind of a new and exciting era, I think, for the Blue Jays. So, you know, a lot of those pieces were, you know, you hate to talk about people as pieces, but, you know, they were moved to get younger and pieces for down the road. So I think, I don't know, that's above, you know, what I do. I mean, my job is to kind of take what we have on the field and work with what we have here. But I think it's the right direction. I think we're going in the right direction, and we got some exciting players coming back. We got some exciting players coming up, and obviously some of them are already here.
Dave Hudgens is the bench coach for the Blue Jays, who go for the sweep of the Texas Rangers, 12:37 Eastern, first pitch, a game you can listen to right here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, watch on Sportsnet. Bo Bichette has reached base, Dave, in his first 16 big league games. Rocco Baldelli, now the manager of the Twins, reached base in his first 24 career games way back with the Tampa Bay. I think they were still the Devil Rays at the time. And so Bo closes in on that. I know that's not the priority, but just generally speaking, you got to know him a little bit in spring training, watched him play. I think he was on the travel bus almost every day. So if he wasn't starting, he was getting into Grapefruit League games in the fifth or sixth inning, played a lot. Your impressions of him then and what you've seen from him here over the first 2.5 or so weeks of his big league career.
He's obviously made a great impression. He probably had the best spring of anybody in camp. You know, he prepares well. I mean, he's well beyond his, I think he's 21 years old. You know, his dad played a long time. He's been around the ballpark for his whole life. So you can see how those elite players around his dad worked and how they went around their business, how they went about their business. So I think he had a head started that, but he's really talented. I mean, he's kind of unique type of hitter. He's ultra aggressive, but has a pretty good knowledge of the strike zone. He's a young man, I think, that prepares really well, which is something that young guys have to learn. And I think he's maybe ahead of the curve in that spot, probably because of his dad and his upbringing. But he pays attention to details. He really wants to win. He tries to make adjustments every day. He understands that I think this game is really hard and that there's adjustments that have to be made and you have to make them every day. And he's just kind of riding the wave right now. And we'll see how guys start attacking him and see the adjustments he has to make. I mean, everybody has to go through it. I've seen Carlos Correa go through it when he had to start hitting two seamers inside when they started crowding him and how he made that adjustment. And so how George Springer went from like 25% swing and miss rate to about a 17% swing and miss rate. So, I mean, all really good players have to make adjustments, and I think our guys are no different. That's just part of the game.
Dave, there's a slight age gap between you and the young guys that are playing with the Blue Jays right now, just a slight one. And you mentioned that there were some younger players in the Astros system as well that you were responsible for coaching up. What's one thing that kind of strikes you with these young guys, whether it's their slang, the way they spend their time on their cell phones, video games, whether it's their vernacular, that kind of has you sitting back thinking, like, what are these kids doing? What are they even up to with their time?
Yeah, well, I've got four kids, and my youngest is 20, so I've kind of been around that a lot. I love it. I mean, I love the guys' energy, and, you know, it's different now than it used to be. My first year as a hitting coach in the major leagues was 1999, so things have changed quite a bit, mm-hmm. but the players' enthusiasm and the way they go about their business hasn't changed a whole lot. They've got other activities. Or instead of playing cards as much, they're probably in video games more and those kind of things. But, they're still young guys, and they've got a lot of ability. They're up here at such a young age is remarkable. And, they're competing at a pretty high level. So I mean, I'm a lot older than them, but they keep me young. I tell you that. I mean, I love watching them play.
Are you good at Fortnite?
No, I mean, my son's pretty good at that, but I mean, I'll watch it a little bit, but I don't think I can't figure that one out.
You and me both, Dave. Position players I'm fascinated to watch over the next coming weeks and months is Rowdy Tellez, and he's back up. He's made a adjustment to his stance. He's a bit more upright. And I look at this team as the core four guys and Gurriel and the three young kids in the infield, and then everyone kind of vying to be a part of the group moving forward, and he would be in that class. What can he or what does he need to do to make an impression on your staff moving into the offseason and spring training next year?
Well, I think Rowdy's already made a good impression. I mean, he's, starting the year, he's hit for power, and he's done some really good things. I think there's some things he knew when he got sent down that he needed to work on to become an elite player. And, you know, if you're going to play first base in the major leagues, obviously probably going to have to hit for power, which he is. That's his type of game. He's going to hit for power and get pretty much for power, you know, line to line. So he's got great ability that way. But guys are starting to test him as far as, you know, any weaknesses he had as far as chasing and not being as disciplined maybe as he needs to be. And if you have pitchers out there that know you're going to chase and know that you're going to be ultra aggressive, you're not going to see as many strikes. So I think the thing he needed to do, and he's done as he went down to AAA, with a really good attitude and working with the staff down there to kind of tighten up the strike zone a little bit, get a little bit more discipline. Made a couple physical changes as far as being more upright, maybe feels a little more comfortable. The biggest thing is he needs to control the strike zone a little bit more. And I think if he does that, he can be a really big force in the middle of this lineup. I mean, left-handed power hitting, left-handed hitter, I think we could use. We have quite a few righties with Shed, Biggio, Gurriel, you know, Gritch, Hernandez, all those guys are right-handed. Fisher coming in, being a lefty, could be big, you know. So we're pretty right-handed dominated the lineup, but we could use a couple lefties in there that can control the strike zone and obviously hit for power. And, you know, Rowdy's pretty good at first base. He does a good job over there. And, you know, I mean, I think he's only 24 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And I think he could be a force, yeah.